Blog Talk Radio. Lord, here we are again, and it's Friday night, and it's such a great night to be with the Lord. You know, this is better than any bar that I ever sat in, and it's really better than any place that I've ever been, because Jesus is always right here in our midst. So we're going to talk about a lot of different things tonight, but before I get into the message, I need to warn you, just be very, very careful about what you receive in your spirit as the truth, because there's a lot of people out there that are carelessly handling the Word of God. And, you know, we're living in the time where people are looking to the stars and they're looking for UFOs to come, and they're looking for a cosmic Christ to return to the earth, and they're looking for Star War type Christianity, is what I call it. And they just seem to be able to work it in so carefully that Christians, a lot of them, are not even aware anymore that they're not receiving the Word of God when people talk about these things. And so you've got to make sure, friends, that you are connected in to Jesus, because of the fact that we're right in this time where many people are falling away for a lack of knowledge and a lack of commitment and a cool, cold Christianity, and many leaders and pastors preaching another gospel under the powers of another spirit called Kundalini. And they're preaching about a Jesus that we do not know. So you've got to stay founded in the Word of God. And see, one of the things that's happening is the devil has rolled out many of the old ancient writings of the rabbis plus the Kabbalah. And many Christians have gotten themselves wrapped up in those books more than they are wrapped up in the Word of God. And so they're preaching from those books instead of the foundations of the Word. Now, let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Let's just take one of those books just for a moment. The book of Jubilees. It narrates the genesis of angels. Now, listen to this. On the first day of creation, and the story of how a group of fallen angels mated with mortal females, giving rise to giants known as Nephilim. The Ethiopian version states that, quote, the angels, end of quote, were in fact disobedient offsprings of Seth. And while the mortal females were the daughters of Cain. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can't find anything like this in the Bible. There is no basis, but this is from the ancient rabbi writings. But Christians are just taking this stuff in as if it is the truth, and they're preaching it, and people are falling for it. So I'm just telling you to be very, very much aware, not to receive everything. Now, this also is a viewpoint that's being held by many of the commentators today, people that are calling themselves Christians, and some of the earliest commentators. And they say they're hybrid children. You know, a hybrid is a mixture. And what they're insinuating is that the Nephilim, that the fallen angels, in existence during the time of Noah, were wiped out by the great flood. However, Jubilees also states that God granted 10% of the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim to try to lead mankind astray after the flood. Nothing in the Bible about that. Jubilees makes an incestuous reference regarding the son of Adam and Eve, Cain and his wife. And it mentions that Cain took his sister Awan to be his wife, and Enoch was their child. Also, it mentions that Seth, another son of Adam, married his sister Azuah. Now, have you ever heard anything like that in the Bible? I have never heard anything like that in the Bible. And to be honest with you, we just didn't hear these things preached until, I would say, about mid-80s. We started hearing about Jews beginning to get saved around the world. And some of these Jews followed Christianity for a short season. But then they started setting up their own little groups, and they decided, many of them decided, that Christianity and Christians just didn't know what they were talking about, and they started following the writings of the old rabbis. And they started following a lot of the writings of what they were taught as children. And so that's why this mixture has come in so very strongly as I speak to you today, because many, many Christians begin to follow the messianic viewpoints of things, and a lot of confusion began to come into the church. And many, many Christians fell away from the church and followed after false doctrines. Just because Christians, many of the churches were blinded because of the Catholic Church, and many of your Protestant churches followed right along with the Catholic Church, and they picked up the heathen pagan holidays such as Christmas and Easter and things like that. These Messianic Jews just thought that Christianity was bad and it wasn't the truth. And I'm not talking about all of them. I think that there are some real, honest-to-God, born-again Jews in the world today. But I'm just saying that the ones that went after this writings of the rabbis, they have brought in a lot of false doctrines, and a lot of Christians have fallen away and are following after those, well, the sacred name doctrine, for one thing. And so let's just look for another minute or two about some of these Jewish writings that they're following. Now, according to the Book of Jubilees, the Hebrews is the language of heaven and was originally spoken by all creatures in the garden. Do you ever read that in the Bible? No. Animals and men. However, animals lost their power of speech when Adam and Eve were expelled. Did you ever hear anything like that in the Bible? The only animal that you hear are a species is a snake that spoke to Eve. And we all know that that was just Satan in the form of a snake. But the Bible doesn't say anything about animals talking. It says that Adam named them, and that God would come down in the cool of the day and sit and minister and talk to Adam every day, but nothing about animals talking. I guess they are talking about some kind of a Dr. Doolittle religion here. But then it says, sometimes following the flood, now we're still in Jubilees, the deluge, the earth is apportioned into three divisions for three sons of Noah, his 16 grandsons, after the destruction of the Tower of Babylon. Their families were scattered, respective allotments, and Hebrew was forgotten until Adam was taught it by the angels. In the Book of Jubilee also contains a few scattered allusions to the Messianic kingdom. Now, you see, these books are the exact opposite of what the Word of God has to say. And so, if you're following these people that are following these Messianic eras, and I'm not going to talk on Messianic sacred names tonight. We'll do it sometimes in the future. But we're just talking about why there's so much confusion in Christianity today. Because of the fact that many, many people are following after strange doctrines and doctrines of devils. And so you see, you need to get grounded in the Word of God so that you know what your faith is. See, you're either going to be following Jesus or you're going to follow the rabbis. Now, a lot of people that were coming into the following the rabbis in Jerusalem when Jesus came in, what happened was a lot of those leaders were following after the writings of the Babylonian fallen empire. And what they were doing is they were following after the rabbis that had mixed a little bit of the Old Testament Word of God in with the writings of the rabbis. And you see, it's my contention that you just cannot understand the New Testament unless you understand that God came for the purpose, Jesus, for the purpose of establishing the Word of God on the earth, because between Malachi and the New Testament, there's about 350 years that God was silent. And so Jesus came because the Jewish leadership of his day were teaching from the oral law, which is the writings of the Babylonian rabbis. And you have to understand that when they were taken into captivity, what happened was they destroyed their basis of faith, Nebuchadnezzar. They took away their books, and the leadership, the priest leadership of that day, had to keep their faith through memory of what they learned when they had their scrolls. And so what ended up having is your priesthood in the falling captivity began to take the Babylonian law and intermix it, you know, with the Word of God. And so That rabbinic teachings began to come down, and when Jesus came, that's what you had leading Jerusalem. You know, when I was a little baby Christian, I used to wonder when it showed that Jesus was rebelling against the leadership of his day. I said, well, I don't understand that, because it was in the Bible. I mean, he went to the well, And he spoke to a woman by the well. Well, the rabbis, and Jesus was a rabbi because he was a teacher, they were forbidden by the law to speak to women. But here you have Jesus speaking to a woman by the well. What was going on there? Well, what was going on there is Jesus did not obey the writings, the oral law. He did not obey the Babylonian law. And may I add, neither did Paul, because when Paul constantly was rebuking, by the way, well, for instance, over in Galatians, that whole book is about the Judaizers coming in to the Christian church after Paul had founded that Galatian church. And the Judaizers had come into that church for what purpose? They came in there to pull those Christians back up underneath the oral law. And you see that same thing happening throughout the New Testament. And Paul standing for the freedom in Jesus that we are no longer under the law. We are not under the oral law. We're under the Word of God. And I could go into a lot of areas, but we're not talking about that exactly tonight. I'm just saying that you cannot understand the New Testament unless you understand that Jesus was correcting his people that he had gathered concerning the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and so was Paul. And one night we'll talk about this, but I want to get into some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about Christians becoming paganized, and there are many of them that have become paganized, and some of them don't know that they've left the faith if they ever were in the faith to begin with. And so they are under what I call ancient heresies. And the Bible talks about shock and awe. You remember Bush had his shock and awe war over there in Iraq. Well, the Bible talks about a spirit called shock and awe. And it's a female spirit, but it's a celestial shock and awe of judgments, of tribulations that are going to be unleashed. And the Word of God describes a time characterized by false teachings that are so strong that even if possible, the elect believers would be swept away. Mark 13:22. And people that are in the church, and there's many that have never been born again, which means that they have never received the seal of God, the Holy Spirit, on their foreheads. Yes, the believers are sealed by the Spirit of God, and that's where they get their protection from God. And in Matthew 24, Jesus describes the world just before he returns in the second coming as a world where the love of most have grown cold because of false teachers. In Matthew 24:11-12, it says, the faith will nearly be accepted. Luke 18:8. So the end of the church age is shown in Revelation, and it's a church that's called the Laodicean church, where the truth of the light has become self-centeredness. It's heavy materialism, and personal agendas run deep. And true Bible spirituality is very, very shallow. So we are living in this hour of time where these false, deceptive teachers just as the foretaste of this birth pain, which Jesus warned us about, and it's forming in front of our very eyes as I speak to you today. And so you have to be awake, and you have to be alive to the things of God because of the fact that there are many, many wolves that have just come into the sheep pen because the shepherds are sound asleep. And many movements have come in to the church and have been received and are being received as real foundational church teachings. And some of these things are called cults. They're called sacred name movement, Jehovah Witnesses, prophetic movements, Mormonism. We've got a born-again Christian running for president, according to many of our leaders today. And we know that he is a Mormon. So you make your judgments on those things. Now, these are damnable heresies, and they're doctrines of devils, and they're twisting of the word, witchcraft doctrines, and they are being led by wizards and witches. And this group of people that are leading in these false doctrines are going to cause the greatest massacre of the Church of Jesus Christ that the Christian church has ever experienced. The New World Order church is filled, and we have fifth column people in the church system that calls itself Christian, that is visible. And these are infiltrators and wolves dressed up like sheep and dark charlatans seeking to soul scap Christians. So my word to Christians is to stop praying for the wolves to repent and pray for those who are being received up underneath their demonic faith. Because there are many Christians that are caught up in that movement that are real Christians that believe in Jesus, but they're sheep that have been deceived. And millions are now seduced, facing an eternity of hell because Christians, they just say, Pat, why don't you leave that stuff alone? Why do you try to expose things? Why do you talk about these things? All you're doing is dividing the Christian church. No, I'm not dividing the Christian church. They are. What I'm doing is I'm trying to alert you to be alert so that you're not divided in the wolf's camp, because there's two movements going on right now as I speak to you. One is a group of wolves that have carried away a bunch of Christians that are under deception. And the other is a group that loves Jesus Christ, and they're following him all the way. And they're people that love Jesus and his word. You cannot follow Jesus without his word, because the word of God, it's your highway. It's your roadmap to heaven, so that you can see, so that you can know that God is real, so that you can know that God is ready to save you as long as you stay connected into Jesus, because Jesus is Lord. And Jesus has given us a call today that if you've been up underneath one of these groups that I named, and there's many others, you know, the prophetic group is one of them. A lot of people are trying to learn how to prophesy. You can't learn how to prophesy. The Lord Jesus teaches you how to prophesy. It was the Lord Jesus that taught Jeremiah to prophesy. He never went to a prophetic school to learn that. He never had a teacher to teach him how to do that. Jesus taught him how to do that. And so you have to understand that we are living in a time where there are people that have come right out of divination, teaching people how to become divinators so that they can say, "Thus saith the Lord, my child, I am going to get that Cadillac for you. Yes, I'll pay your mortgage off. Just send so-and-so $1,000 and I'll give it to you." You know, you don't have to buy anything from God because Jesus already paid a price, didn't he? So you've got to get it right. You've got to get it right, folks. Jesus never sent us as his children, as beggars, for people to give us money to sell his gifts. And that is another group of people that are in false Christianity. But tonight, you know, what we were going to talk a little bit about was the Christians that are falling after some of the star gods, the cosmic Christ. You know, there's a cosmic Christ that a lot of Christians are following after. And I've discerned two groups so far, and I'm sure there's many. But one group is the third wave group, and they were actually leading. And who are, well, let me tell you who the third wave are. At the head of that is Peter Wagner, and then you've got Chuck Pierce that now runs it because Peter Wagner's 80 years old and he's retired. And they were actually having meetings with Chuck Pierce and Robert Heidler, and they were doing a planetary worship. And, you know, NASA, they did some things where they uncovered where the planets make noises, and they called it music. And so the third wave people took those NASA tapes into one of their meetings, and they had the whole bunch of people worshiping the stars, and they were saying things like, "Oh, the stars, the planets are healing you now." I mean, it was an absolute pagan type of a ritual. I just was absolutely shocked whenever I saw those things. And so they're teaching things like aliens have come and implanted their DNA and intermixed it with the heavens, and they've intermixed it with ours, and all kinds of creepy, ungodly things. You see, that's what was happening at the Tower of Babylon. Whenever God came down, they had built the Tower of Babel at that time. And what they had actually done was, at that time, they were building a tower to the stars. Now, a lot of people in America, particularly, never understood the NASA projects. Everything that went on at NASA was built around occult imaginations and occult doctrines. A lot of Americans don't understand that. But there was a man by the name of Parsons, and another man that... L. Ron Hubbard, who created Scientology. And both Ron Parsons was actually one of the foundational members of NASA's, and they were actually building that station there after pagan doctrines. And that's why you see all of the astral ships that they shot up were after pagan gods and goddesses, and everything kind of just revolves around paganism. It's because of that. And so the point that I'm going to make here is that there was a man by the name of Crowley. And Crowley was known as the Beast back in the 20s and the 30s, because he was he called himself the Beast. He said that he was the most wicked man that had ever lived. And Crowley, he was the first person that I can track that opened up what is known as the Stargate today. And Crowley opened that Stargate magically and ritualistically and called down a spirit that he named Lamb, L-A-M. And this spirit that was called Lamb was a spirit that was called Lamb, L-A-M, just left the B off, didn't he? And he drew a picture of Lamb, and Lamb looked like he looked like some of these UFO characters that are drawn today. Well, Parson and L. Ron Hubbard took up where Crowley left off, and they would go out into the desert, and they would do sexual ritualisms for the purpose of opening up the Babylonian Stargate, is what they said. And so those were the first two Stargates. But then the New Age people, they began to open up a lot of Stargates all over the world. And then you've got your occult governments, and America, you're included in on that, because our leaders who are right now at the Bohemian Grove worshiping the 40-foot owl every July, they're out there worshiping as we talk tonight. They are opening up Stargates all over the world. And the Satanists are opening up Stargates all over the world. And so you have to understand the amazement that I had whenever the Lord told me to go look. He wanted to teach me a few things. And boy, did he ever teach me a lot. And he taught me that there were Christians and that they were opening up Stargates. And, of course, the Christians that were opening up the Stargates were was a Christian by the name of Peter Wagner. And I first, I had read some of Wagner's books many years ago, before I was a mature Christian, maybe. And I didn't understand that Peter Wagner was an occultist when I started reading his books. And I probably ever read maybe one or two when I was a young baby Christian. But let me tell you, Peter Wagner was opening up Stargates. And whenever I zeroed in on Peter Wagner was when he came down to Lakeland to endorse and initiate and to indoctrinate this crazy man. I bind confusion, all confusion working right now. You're bound and you get out of the airways. You cannot interfere with this. Todd Bentley. And so that's when I looked into Peter Wagner's ministry, and lo and behold, I discovered that he was opening up stargates all over America. Now, let me read just something to you that Peter Wagner says. He wrote about breaking the stargate veil with a man called Ben F. Gayrote. Gayrote, G-R-A-Y-W-R-O-T-E. He says, quote, "The new apostolic reformation is an extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit that is changing the shape of Christianity globally. It's a new day. The church is changing, new names, new brands, new worship expressions. The Lord is establishing foundations of the church for the new millennium. This foundation is built upon prophets and apostles." And of course, Wagner is a head apostle of these followers all over the world. And this is not a small movement anymore. Now, Peter Wagner, which is also a New Age terminology, New Age and Peter Wagner say that they are ready to take a quantum leap into godhood. And Wagner's teaching concerning the opening of stargates and entering in heaven's gates is demonic and dangerous, and very powerful, powerful deception. And it's leading spiritual activities that will steal the souls of Christians and unbelievers. And it's what God told me was a spiritual alchemy. The heaven's gates, stargate, is the gate. There is a heaven, and there is a stargate, but Jesus Christ is at the head of that gate. And you will never see any gospels written in the Bible, any writing in the Bible, that shows men going up to open up the stargate. We talked to you about that a week or so ago. Yes, the Lord has opened up the stargate many times. And we have seen from the Word of God, for instance, we saw angels coming down Jacob's ladder many times. I don't want to go into that, but the New Testament says that Jesus is the keeper, the shepherd of the gate of heaven. And he says no man will enter except by him. So when Peter Wagner tells you that he can open up a stargate, a heavenly gate, or a wormhole, it's not the Spirit of God that's working with Peter Wagner to do that. It's a demonic force. And that's what I want you to get your eyes on, the fact that there are demons working within the framework of Christianity today. And so Peter Wagner said when he came down to anoint Todd Bentley, Peter Wagner said, in this year, to open the gate, one gate that we must swing wide is the gate of change. Now, where have you heard that word change so profusely? In the Muslims' campaign, in Obama's campaign. We need change. We need change. Well, everybody ran out and elected Obama. They got change. They got their gas bills are doubled. Their food bills are doubled. And you've got somebody saying America has changed from Christian foundations to being Muslims now. And so we got change, but it wasn't the change that we were looking for. And so just like Obama Wagner promised change. And what he goes on to say is, most of us think that the gate is a physical place that will appear in front of you. However, the first gate that we must go through is heaven's gates. So in other words, he's telling you that you have to go up in to heaven. And how do you get there? You are led up in there by his trained ministers. And they will open up that gate. They will tell you to close your eyes in meetings. And they'll say, come on, I'll take you up to the heaven. And they'll say, are you ready to go? And you say, yes. And when you say yes, you've given them the assent or the agreement to take you, your soul, and go up into what they are calling the third heaven, which is actually the demonic heaven. And they take your soul, your spirit, soul traveling or astral projecting up into heaven's gate. Now, the Lord spoke to me during when he was teaching me this stuff that they were doing, that actually, whenever these people are doing that, they don't come back because the devil steal their souls. Now, some of you have been listening to our radio shows, and you know that there's a woman come up three or four different times now, and she got involved with just walking around her city, praying for her city, with these crazy people taking her as a baby Christian to some of the most demonic places in her city. She went to places where heathens and pagans worship. She would go into the Catholic Church during prayer meetings at noontime. And all of a sudden, she was taken up supernaturally into a stargate. But we've been ministering to her on this radio program. And Rhonda, we love you, and we're going to continue to minister to you, and you just keep your eyes on Jesus. But the point in ministering about her was she was a baby Christian when this happened. And the devil does not care how mature you are, how immature you are, how old you are, how young you are. He wants your soul. So you need to get your eyes on Jesus. And so you have to say okay. You have to give your assent to go into that third heaven being led by these deceivers. Because you see, Christians already have an open heaven to them. And the book of Hebrews tells us that we go boldly into the throne room and we receive super abounding grace so that we can go before the throne of God anytime we want to. We don't have to go through these men's phony witchcraft practices to get to God. Jesus is sitting there on his throne, and he's also connected with us because he's living in our hearts. Is that right? And so you got to be careful in this day and time, friends, because these are surely perilous, dangerous times. And these dangerous times that you're living in, you need to know that God wants to keep you very, very close to his heart. Very, very close to his heart. And so you need to understand that God is as close as your breath. And ooh, whenever you go to the Spirit of God every day in prayer, God can give you visions. He can give you dreams. But so can the devil. So can the devil. And this is why the Bible told us. This is why the Bible told us. Oh, Patricia Cook, huh? This is why the Bible told us that there is a third heaven. Now, Patricia, you've come up and you've mentioned 2 Corinthians 12:2. And these are some very interesting scriptures. Who do you think went into the third heaven? Since you've posted that up there, who do you think it was? That's right, I'm asking you a question. God is so good all the time and worthy, worthy, worthy. Well, what I want you to do, Patricia, I want you to go read those scriptures very, very carefully. Don't just read over them, and don't just accept what some preacher has told you. Those scriptures do not say that Paul was taken up into the third heaven. Those scriptures say, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a man was called up to the third heaven. Was that Paul that was called up to the third heaven? I don't think so. I think that Paul knew a man, and he saw the man in his spirit form. Let's read it again. I know a man about 14 years ago, whether he was in the body, I do not know, or whether he was out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And then he says, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. It doesn't say anything at all about Paul being caught up to the third heaven. But yet, ministers have always quoted that Paul was caught up to the third heaven. You see, American Christians are not spiritual, and they're not supernatural, so they don't understand these kind of things. But see, if you're a supernatural Christian, you do understand these kind of things. And I have actually seen people appear in churches in their spiritual bodies. They were not in the flesh. I've seen it several times. Sabrina isn't with us tonight, but we talked about this one night. And Sabrina and I were sitting in a local church. And Bishop Canco was with us. And Bishop says, oh my goodness. He said, I see two human spirits sitting two rows behind us. And Sabrina and I turned around and we looked. And when we looked, the two human spirits, those faces scrooched up and manifested demonically when they saw us looking at them. And they disappeared. Sabrina and I saw that with our own eyes. And the Bible, as Brother Tom is telling you, test the spirits to see if they be of God. And see, if you don't seek God and meditate on the Word of God, you're not going to have a true understanding that of what the word is really saying. And so another time I was in a church down in Tampa, and there was a woman that came in. She sat toward the front of the church, and I knew that this woman was a witch, and this time not through discerning of spirits, but because I was in this little town where there were three witches that were controlling the town, and she was one of them. And there was a tent ministry in town, and the tent minister knew that she was a witch. So he got up from his seat, and he came, and he sat between her and me to block any kind of powers that she was sending up to try to distract me. And so what happened was, I preached the salvation gospel to that woman that night. It was very, very interesting because of the fact that I had another sermon prepared, but God fished for that witch's soul that night. And he, at the end of the sermon, I gave an altar call, and she didn't budge at first. And then all of a sudden, she got up and she rushed out of the church. Well, standing at the door was a woman that used to travel with me, Max, and the pastor. And it was one of these churches that had two doors, in the front of the church. And so he was standing at one, and Max was standing at the other door. And she just ran out the church. And so I was standing down in the front of the church, and people were coming up, and I was praying for them. And all of a sudden, that woman's figure stepped out of another dimension. It was, if I could describe it to you, I will describe it like if you've ever seen Star Trek, and you remember when they used to say, "Beam me up, Scotty." Remember that? Well, whenever they would beam him up, there would be like all of a sudden he would just step forth from another dimension. He would just suddenly appear from a dimension that you couldn't see him in, and he would step into visibility. That's the way it was. And so what happened was that she came over to me, and she said to me, and her voice was like a computer. She says, "You are a very fascinating woman." And I said, "Well, thank you." I said, "What do you need from God?" And she says, I said, "Do you want to be saved?" She says, "I'm already saved." I said, "Well, do you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost?" She says, "I've already got that." And I said, "Well, what did you come here for?" She said, "Pray for that my power will be increased." Well, you see, she's a witch and I'm a Christian, and she's wanting me to increase her powers. Well, you know, I wasn't born yesterday, so I just put my hand up. I never touched her. I just put my hand up, and I said, "Lord Jesus, show her your power." And when I said that, she fell back. She never hit the floor. She went down about 12 inches from the floor, and she sprang back up like, I can describe it like, remember those little clown punching dolls, the Bozo dolls, and you used to punch them and they would fall back and spring back up? That's sort of the way it was. And so then what happened was, when she sprung back up, she kind of looked at me and her face just looked like a mass of confusion. And she took a couple of steps back and went back into that dimension that she had come out of. And so the pastor came running up front. People came running up front. And they said, "Where did she go?" He said, "I saw that woman leave the church." He said, Max said, "I saw her too." And then suddenly he said, "I saw her up front with you." Well, you see, he could see her, Max could see her, and all of the people in the church could see her. But it was her spirit that was standing in front of me. It was not her physical body. And so the point that I'm getting to is, I believe that that's what those scriptures mean that Patricia Cook put up there about Paul seeing the man in 2 Corinthians 12:2, because Paul said, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago," and he said, "whether in the body," and what that really does mean is whether he was in the body, "I do not know," or whether he was out of the body, "I do not know. God knows." Such a man was called up to the third heaven. And that scripture is always misinterpreted by preachers, that Paul went to the third heaven. Paul didn't say that at all. And if you take the scriptures and you zero in on the scriptures and you ask God to give you eyes to see, then you can see. Paul saw a man that went to the third heaven. He personally did not go to the third heaven. Not in those scriptures he didn't, because he didn't say that I went to the third heaven. So what I want you to do is to understand what you believe. He would have made that clear. He would have made that clear, believers of Bill Pringle. He would have made it very, very clear. And so the point being, it's not about that, but what this sermon tonight and this teaching tonight really is about is there are people that are leading the body of Christ, and these people that are leading the body of Christ are mystics, and they're people that are not teaching the Christianity that we learned before the UFOs started appearing in the air. Now, let's talk about the UFOs just for one moment. You know, I've been around teaching now for about 35 years. And back in the 80s, I never, ever heard about UFOs until there was a man called Barney and his wife, and they were taken up in a UFO, and they came back and they described it, and it made all of the market sheets, and people all over America was talking about this couple, and these aliens took them up in the starship. Nobody in America ever heard of things like this until the 80s. Nobody ever heard about that. And then there was a local woman here in Jacksonville, and she was taken up, and she became very famous in the market sheets, and the local churches begin to invite her in to minister because, now listen to this, when she went up into the UFO, she described an angel that was called Anton. And she said Anton gave her this cross. And Anton told her that anyone that that used the cross, that she used the cross and prayed for, would be healed. Well, is that Christian healing? No. What is that? That is healing people through a witchcraft object called an Anton cross. Okay? And you're right, Evangel Trey. Hold on a minute. She had been duped by an angel of light. And so she was getting around in all of the local churches, and I called the overseer, and I just asked him, I said, why are you letting a witch come into your church and minister? He said, well, we're not. I said, well, you are. And after I explained to him that Christians heal in the name of Jesus by the word of God, and that we don't use crosses and objects to heal, that Catholics do that, maybe, then he stopped her from going into the local churches. And that was back in the 80s. And so the point being is that the churches were blinded back then, and they remained blinded, and many of them are still blinded. So what happened was that this woman, I was ministering in one of the local churches here, and I took her article that was in one of the market sheets. I think it was called the Inquirer or Inquiry or something like that. And they had put a full page in that sheet concerning her testimony of going into the UFO. And I took that, and the pastor had invited me to preach about witchcraft. What's wrong? How do you discern it? And I held that up to the congregation, and I said, there's a woman in Jacksonville that goes around in churches healing the sick with Anton's cross, and I said, it's witchcraft and demons. And she was sitting in the congregation. And the next day she called me and she said, you embarrassed me. Everybody knows me there. And I'm going to sue you. And so I said, well, honey, you just go ahead and sue. Because if you sue me, that will make me an international personality. And I never heard from her again. And so the point being is, see, as Brother Tom pointed out, that we have to test the spirits, and we have to discern the spirits in 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 11. There are two spiritual realms, and one spiritual realm is God, and he's in charge of that one, and the other spiritual realm is the spiritual realm of the devil. I can't pull the scriptural reference out, but maybe Tom or Brother Bill can. But I remember David having a visitation from the angel, from an angel, and he said, are you on our side or are you on their side? If anybody can remember that, just please put it up for them, because I just can't pull it out right now. But the whole point being is this, there are two spiritual realms, and as Christians, whenever you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what happens is It puts you into the supernatural realm. You become a supernatural Christian. See? And when you become a supernatural Christian, it opens you up not only to the Spirit of God, but it opens you up to the evil spirits too. And so that's why Paul said, test the spirits to see if they be of God. Test the spirits to see if they be of God. And so I'm going to ask you, if you had a figure to come into your room tonight, and it looked like the Jesus that you see painted in paintings all over the world, would you just start talking to him? Well, what if you had an angel to come into your room? Or what if you had an apparition come into your room? Would you just start talking to him? Do you know that most Christians do? They just start talking to him. They never test to see if they be of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've had these things to happen. I've had apparitions come into my room. Usually that would be a remote viewer or a witch soul traveling to check out who you are, to see if they can work powers against you. Because smart, wise witches will check you out if you're a Christian before they send curses on you. Because if they send a curse on you, and you're not, and you know what you're doing, that curse is going to come back and light back on them sevenfold, according to what the scripture says. And what they say in their laws, and I only know this because I've pulled people out of witchcraft and Satanism, and they've told me that it will come back 10 times worse on them if they release a demon and it cannot accomplish its assignment, then it comes back on them 10 times worse. So a trained witch or wizard will always check out whether they can put a curse on you or not. And so just letting you know. So you test the spirits to see if they be of God. Now, how do you test the spirits? The guys up here that are working with me tonight, Bill and Tom, Chaplain Tom, they're telling you, you have to test the spirits to see if they be of God. Because according to the scripture that Bill just put up, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And look at this in Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division, offensive, contrary to the doctrine we have learned, and avoid them. So the Bible tells us very clearly that there is a true doctrine and there are false people that try to come in and teach false doctrine. But Christians that are real are supposed to mark the false. You're supposed to mark them. How do you mark them? You uncover them. You tell people, these people are not real Christians. Because, not because I don't like them. I love everybody. I even love them. I hope they get saved. I hope they return to God. Many of them are never going to do that. But I love their souls because Jesus died for everyone. And I think there's hope for everyone. If Bishop Kenko can be saved, and he's from the higher echelons of witchcraft and wizardry, I believe those people could be saved. It's whether or not they're going to, I can't tell you. That's God's business, right? And so Bill put a scripture up, Joshua 5:14, and he said, "Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face and did worship and said to him, "What saith my Lord to his servant?" Now, you look at that scripture very carefully, because that was Jesus appearing to him. If it was just an angel, the angel would rebuke him and say, "Don't worship me." But when Jesus appears, Jesus will allow worship, but you better make sure that it's Jesus. Now, let's get back to Jesus appearing to you, looking like these Jesuses in the pictures that we see all over the country and the world. Nobody knows what Jesus looks like. And in fact, the book of Isaiah says that Jesus has a very uncomely looking spirit. He's not handsome. The Bible says that in the flesh, he wasn't like Saul, where people were running after Saul because he was head and shoulders over them. The book of Isaiah said he had an uncomely appearance, I think, from memory now I'm speaking. Somebody can go look that up if you want. But the point is that the Jesus that you see in these pictures is not the Jesus that we serve. And the book of Romans chapter 1 forbids us to make a picture of God or an image of God. And so anybody that has these images of God, it's idolatry, whether you realize it or not. I know up on Facebook, there's these pictures, people sending these pictures out of Jesus all the time up on Facebook. And it's not really of God, it's idolatry. That's Catholicism, where they're always having the pictures of Jesus, you know, everywhere, or Mary or Joseph or whatever, angels. So be very careful that you don't fall into a spirit of idolatry. But I'm going to tell you a story that happened in the 80s. There was a woman that came to our church, and this woman said that she was in a church down in Fort Lauderdale. And she said, the door opened, and an apparition came floating down the aisle of the church. Said it was in a white robe, and said its feet were about 12 inches above the ground, and it was just floating down the aisle, and it came up onto the platform. And the preacher was a spirit-filled Church of God pastor. And so this spirit took the mic and said, "This man is a false prophet." It said, "Don't follow him." The people were half out of the pews when the preacher said, "Well, wait a minute, I'm a real man of God." And he said, "I bind you in the name of Jesus." And when he said, "I bind you in the name of Jesus," that apparition lost its power to float, and its feet hit the ground for a second, and then it just flew out of one of the windows. And so that was just a man of God that knew what to do, because if he had not known to bind that spirit, the people would have all gotten up and left him and left a true man of God. And this is why we have to test the spirits to see if they be of God. You see, God told us to do that. And so if a spirit comes and speaks to you, or if a spirit comes and appears to you, don't speak back to it until you bind it in the name of Jesus. You command it to be bound up according to Matthew 18:18, Matthew 16, and you command that thing to be bound, and you command it to shut up. Let me tell you, if it's Jesus, here's what Jesus told me about it. He said, Pat, you cannot bind up God. Now, that's good, because when I hear voices speaking into my mind and I just bind it, if it's a spirit, it will weaken and leave. I say, I bind you in the name of Jesus and plead the blood of Jesus over myself. It will weaken and leave. But if I don't bind it, then what will happen? Somebody look that scripture up. It's binding the strong man. Look up the strong man. If you bind a devil, it has to obey the servant of God, which is a Christian, and it has to obey the name of Jesus. It cannot stand against that. Now, you see, whenever somebody comes out of heavy duty witchcraft, or if they've had a strong manifestation over their lives, like Rhonda did, you're trying to teach them spiritual warfare, how to defend themselves, what happens is they have to learn that Jesus truly is more powerful than the devil. Now, at first, they will figure out that Jesus is more powerful than the devil through Pat Holliday, but they can't figure out that Jesus is more powerful than the devil through them. And the reason is because they've been in subjection to those spirits, and those spirits have been very powerful over their lives. And so what you have to do is you really do have to teach them that Jesus is more powerful than the devil. And each time that they have a new experience with the devil, and they have to stand against the devil, and if they don't get results, that's a devil that knows where their faith level is. And the devil knows that they don't have the faith to move him. Well, you see, God didn't leave us helpless either. I remember in the book that I wrote on solitary Satanists, that young man came to us, and he was under total subjection to the devil when he came into our ministry. And so as we began to do spiritual warfare against him, what happened to him was I taught him command to go in the name of Jesus, cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, put the wall of fire around you of the Holy Ghost. And so one night, two devils came into his room, and they had spears in their hands. And he said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And those devils just laughed at him. And he said, don't you know who Jesus is? And they said, oh, yes, we know who Jesus is. But do you know who Jesus is? And so he said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I know who Jesus is. And they just laughed at him again. And he said, you have to obey the name of Jesus. And they said, no, we don't. And so I had taught him to call on the Father to send his warring angels to protect him. So he called and he said, Father, send the warring angels to protect me and make these demons accountable to the name of Jesus. And two giant angels appeared in the room, and they grabbed the arm where the demons had the sword, and they chained him right in front of his face, and they took him out of the room, and they disappeared. You see, the weakest Christian has more power. He just has to use the mouth. It's the words that you're speaking, and the words have to line up with the Word of God. And that's why we teach you to put the Word in your heart. Hide the Word of God in your heart. And don't read the Word of God from these Illuminati printed Bibles. Read the Word of God directly from the Word of God. Read the King James. People say, well, you know, men translated the King James too. Yes, they did. But it was taken out of the Greek, which the original New Testament was written in Greek. And you've got sacred name people saying, no, it was written in Hebrew because Jesus spoke in Hebrew. Jesus did not speak in Hebrew. Jesus spoke in Aramaic, and so did his apostles. And when they were dispersed throughout the world to preach the gospel after they had been persecuted in Jerusalem, after they had knocked on every door, God put them out there for the purpose of... good night, Tom. We love you very much. Thanks for your help. After God put them out in the world to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, the language of the day was Hebrew, Greek. And so God wrote the New Testament in Greek because it was the known language of the world at that time. And so then, whenever the English took the Bible and translated it, they translated it right out of the Greek into the English. And so that's a little rabbit trail that I went down on. And so, but the truth is that we need to be on our toes in these last days, because there's many, many people that are in wolf's clothes, and these people are taking people into the stargates. And tonight, we didn't get into the UFO people. I just sort of touched on a little bit of it. But what you need to do also is you need to see that there's another group of people that I want to talk about some night, and that's the people that are talking about the giants and women hybrids having sex with the angels and all of this nonsense that they are spreading all over the Bible. I mean, Bible-believing people. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of them say they're Christians, and I do not believe they're Christians. I believe they're put out there to lead people away from the foundations of the Word of God. That's what I believe. And they're known men. When I talk about it, you'll know who they are. We're not going to get into them, I don't think, tonight. But what I do want to do is put the number up there. And we have a telephone number that you can call in. And it's 805-292-0300. And this is our call-in number. And Brother Bill is still up. Sabrina isn't here. So we can take some calls. There's Brother Bill saying hi. We can pray with you. Yes, you need to burn books that are not of God. If you bought books of the third wave, of the UFOs, there are people that are teaching about the giants and I don't want to get into it now, but we'll get into it very, very soon. The way you burn books and things, just go pick the book up and pray over it and say, Lord, should I burn this book? If you belong to Jesus, he'll show you. Plead the blood of Jesus over it. Should I burn this book? He'll show you. He used to show me as a little baby Christian, you know. And so that number is 805-292-0300, and you have to push the number 1 to get through. And let me see if Bill's up. Bill, are you there? Bill, if you'll come up.
Oh, there. Can you hear me, Pastor?
I can hear you.
Okay. Oh, good.
See what this is, okay?
Okay.
It's area code 706. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Rhonda, the one you ministered to about the Stargates and the strange spirits that came on me. And you prayed for me last week, and I got several hours of rest. And then the thing woke me up in the middle of the night and said, I'm back, and I'll make you a black pearl of hell. Well, I pled the blood of Jesus and all the things you told me to do, but I found out that my daughter is in the Navy, and she's in Afghanistan right now over a women's team, and the emblem over her training unit is a skull and bones pirate, and it's from the Navy SEALs. She has a Navy SEAL over her.
Uh-huh.
So I think that thing is attacking me, and it's trying to attack my daughter. And then it told me that it was a royal priesthood. And then, you know, I pled the blood of Jesus, but it's almost like the story that you just told about the man, that it laughed. And it said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, and who do you think you are?
Well, now let's answer that for you first.
Okay.
Bill, while you're there, try to look up for me the royal priesthood is to her.
Now, yes.
Who is the royal priesthood? We are. And second thing is, who do you think you are? You are a child of God when you've asked Jesus to save your soul.
Right.
Jesus died on the cross for you.
Uh-huh.
I think I got the wrong door open there. Bill, can you hear me? Let me see.
Yes, I hear you just fine, Pastor.
Well, I got two doors up. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I had another door open that I needed to close, and we'll get to the 281 in a minute. So you're the one that Jesus died on the cross with and shed his blood for you. Jesus
yes.
did not shed his blood for any devil. So that's who you are. You are a child of God, and the devil is a liar. And the father, and he has no business coming into your room at night. And every night before you go to sleep, you say, Lord Jesus, would you ask your father to send angels to surround my bed and protect me from the evil spirits in Jesus' name?
Okay.
You pray those prayers. Bill, did you find that scripture?
You talking about 1 Peter 2:9? I've got it up in the chat room for you.
Okay, I'm not looking at the chat room. You read it.
Okay, I'll read it for you then. but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
So that's...
See, you are already a chosen priesthood. You are justified by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is what makes you a priest. The blood of Jesus makes you part of his chosen generation. The blood of Jesus is what makes your, is what forgives your sins. It's the blood of Jesus. It's amazing.
Okay. Okay, I knew that scripture, so I know that because he's the high priest of our confession of faith.
Yes.
Read, of
and read Ephesians 1 every day till you get it in your spirit that Jesus has given usward his power and all the wonderful things that the blood has done for us and the revelation and the knowledge that he gives us. If I had to study that Ephesians 1 every day, I would read it. I would read it. I would read it. And then as I was coming out of the darkness I was in, those devils started listening to me then because I was getting revelation, knowledge, learning. It's a battle. It's a war. It's amazing what you have to go through sometimes. But through this, God is going to temper you to the point that you can help others. But right now, it's time for you just to concentrate on listening to the word. Play the word over you constantly. Listen to it as much as you can. Read it as much as you can. Get it in you. Make it a part of your being. And when you get revelation of it, then any devil that gets around you will tremble. They will not want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
They know that you will bind them, that you will put them in a cage, and you'll send them to the feet of Jesus. And they do not like being sent to hell before their time. They do not like that at all.
Okay, Bill, do you want to pray for her and disconnect that spirit from her?
Yes, Pastor, I'll do that if you'd like me to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, we take authority over every devil that is attacking my sister here. I cut all the connections to her. I command that devil to disconnect instantly. You take a deep cough and blow that thing out. Get out of her right now. Obey the name of Jesus and go. I cut you loose and command you to go into the cave right now in Jesus' name. Every connection to this patch, that idol, whatever it is, I bind it. I cut all the ley lines and silver cords attached to her. I command every witchcraft attack to be bound up. Every devil that comes and attacks her in her sleep, every familiar spirit, I bind you and cage you with chains and fetters. I command every, Lord, I ask you and Father God in Jesus' name to surround her home with your warring angels, and that you would surround her too. And I cut the silver cords on any witch trying to astral project into her home in Jesus' name. And I plead the blood of Jesus over her. Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill every empty place in her. Every devil that has come out of her is bound. Any devil that is hiding in that home, I bind you and I command you to go into the cage. And I soak her home and her in the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life. And we give you praise and glory, Lord Jesus. How are you feeling, my sister?
Thank you. I'm feeling much better. I felt it lifting off my back.
Good.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I want you to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Give me faith.
Give me faith.
Like you did Thomas.
Like you did Thomas.
Fill me with faith.
Fill me full of faith.
To overcome.
To overcome.
Every devil.
To overcome every devil.
That is attacking me.
That is attacking me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, I'm going to ask Bill also to pray for your daughter.
Okay.
And we're not going to cast any devils out of her, but we are going to pray that God will protect her life and bind the devils that are attacking her.
Okay.
Yes, Father. In Jesus' name, we lift up this sister's daughter, and we lift up all the people in her unit. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. We bind up every spirit of death. We bind up every attack of the enemy. And in Jesus' name, we command every attack that has been sent against him to be bound up and go into cages right now. Every devil, every witchcraft power that's been worked against them, I cut. cut all the connections, engage all those devils right now in Jesus' name. I bind up every spirit of death, every plot, every plan of the enemy over their lives. And Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to save their souls. We claim them to be part of your chosen generation, your royal priesthood, that you will save them. That this mother would see with her own eyes, that she would see her daughter saved in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we ask you to draw, that you would give her dreams, that you would give her visions. Lord, we ask you to put workers in her path in Jesus' name. We ask you to save her soul. We take authority over every potion, over every poison, over every power that's been worked against her. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you to, yes, we just ask you to send your light, and we ask you to send angels, Lord, to read the word of God over her. And we ask you to protect.
Hello? Hello?
You hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Let me see if we lost. I think we lost Bill. We lost Bill.
Okay.
But we got his prayer. Oh, yes.
That was a wonderful prayer.
Yes, it was. He'll probably call back in. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we do ask that you put those praying angels over her. There he is. That you put those praying angels over her daughter. We thank you that you got Bill back up in the name of Jesus. And Father, just make her very strong. Make Rhonda very, very strong. And everything that she teaches, let it be like a sponge, God, that comes into her spirit and fill her, God, with knowledge and wisdom and power over everything that attacks her and her daughter. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, Miss Wanda. We love you.
Love you. Thank you.
Okay. Brother Bill, let's see who 281 is, okay? 281, you're on the air. Wait a minute. 281.
Hello, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
This is Margaret.
And, hey, Margaret.
I'm enjoying the broadcast. In fact, I've been enjoying it since I started listening to it about a month ago.
Thank you.
And like I told you last week, I've been playing the Word and reading the Word almost all day in my home, and even when we leave in the car. But on Wednesday, my mom and I, we went to have my license renewed at the Department of Public Safety, two people came in, a young man and a young lady. He could have been 18 or 19, and it could have been his mom or maybe an older sister or someone like that or not. But anyway, they just came in and they set one seat down for me, and the young man, you know, everybody's using their cell phones to do whatever, text or get on the internet, and I just happened to look over, and there he had this large bat, and his wings were just flapping, and I didn't pay it any mind, and I just turned away from it because, you know, I didn't want to get that in my spirit, but evidently it did, because when we left, I say, you know, Mom, I think that those two were practicing witchcraft on me. I said, but I can't be sure. But by the time I got home, I had a terrible headache. And then it got into my eye gate, and I was just having problems with my eyes. And I just can't get that picture out of my
Now let me ask you. You saw two men.
It was a woman and a man.
Okay, but then when
but
you looked,
never did, go ahead.
But then when you looked back at them, you saw wings on them.
No, they were on their cell phones.
Yeah.
And I guess he had called up some picture or the other, but it was a bat.
You saw a bat on their cell phone.
Right, uh-huh. He was like one seat over from me.
Okay, I'm going to let Bill pray with you.
And but anyway, this morning when I was praying to the Lord about it, he showed me just just briefly, like there was this python spirit that had gotten in my throat and in my chest and in my stomach. And I began to plead the blood, but I don't think I got it out.
Okay, Bill?
Yes, ma'am.
Good.
All right. Sister, could you repeat after me, Father, in Jesus' name?
Father, in Jesus' name.
I ask you to show me.
I ask you to show me.
If I have any unforgiveness towards anyone else.
If I have any unforgiveness toward anyone else.
If you get any name come in your mind, you just say, I forgive them in Jesus' name. It don't matter. We don't know who you are.
I forgive them in Jesus' name.
Okay. All right. In Jesus' name, I take authority over every witchcraft power that's been worked against this sister. I cut all the connections and command every devil out. Take a deep cough. It'll go. Go into the cave right now. Every ley line, every single pole attached to her, all the craft attacks, we command them out of the cage. Every snake that's been sent to her, touch it to hell, I command you out. Get out of that throat right now. Grow small and out instantly in the name of Jesus. Go. Obey the name right now. Go in Jesus' name. Break the teeth off the vampire bats they tried to send out and attack her. And in Jesus' name, command every spirit up and out. Obey the name of Jesus and go. All of it. Every snake. Every water spirit. Everything that's been working against her. All of it out. Obey the name and go. Blood of Jesus. We soak her in the blood of Jesus. Soak her back, her throat, her lungs in the blood of Jesus. How are you feeling, my sister?
I didn't hear you.
How are you feeling now?
Oh, I feel good. Uh-huh.
I know. Holy Spirit, we ask you to fill every empty place in her till she overflows in Jesus' name. Every devil that's come out of her, I command you to go into the cage in Jesus' name. Can't return anymore. Lay the blood of Jesus over her home. I just lose peace over you, in Jesus' name.
I receive.
Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's good. So take a deep breath and say, fire of the Holy Ghost, run anything else away from me.
Fire of the Holy Ghost, run anything else out of me.
Right now.
Right now.
Take a deep breath. Okay, cough it out. Every hidden spirit, leave. Get into the cage. Every bit. Nothing to say. All.
All of you in the cages. Jesus.
Okay.
Oh, I felt it came out of my eye.
Good. Good. Good.
Oh, praise God. I felt it come out of my eye.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
okay,
you.
Honey, say, Lord Jesus, fill those empty places.
Lord Jesus, fill those empty places.
And put the fire of the Holy Ghost around me.
Put the fire of the Holy Ghost around me.
Thank you right now.
Thank you right now.
Now just fill and go enjoy, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Praise God. Thank you.
Okay, God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay. Okay, Bill, we have another caller. 661, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I just had a question. Why is it that when someone asks for a prayer for either a friend or a family member, you ask if they're a Christian?
Well, the reason that I ask is because if they're not, then we'll pray for them that that they'll become a Christian, or somebody, God will send someone to witness to them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, cause I thought something about that. If you were to pray, like, for somebody that's not a Christian, maybe the, I don't know, maybe the demons or whatever is attacking them that come upon a person that's praying for them?
Well, what we do is, you see, like if it's your mother or your aunt or someone, we all want people to know the Lord. And so that's the most important thing that can happen in a person's life. So we always pray, whether it's a friend or whoever, that they'll become a Christian.
Because I was praying, I started praying for a sister, one of my sisters is a niece.
Yes.
And now I dreamt about a black widow. That was at first it was small, and then it turned as big as a Saint Bernard. And then that spider took my voice away. And then I couldn't speak. I was a mute. So I was talking to a friend that's a Christian in the dream, and he gave me the voice back. And then that same dream, I was eating something, like I was eating chicken. I don't know if that's, they're trying to do witchcraft on me or anything. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, Bill, you want to pray for him?
Yes. But brother, I'm going to lead you through a simple prayer first. I just want to cover all bases. There's only two things I see that ever block healing is unforgiveness and unforgiven sin. So I'm just going to lead you in a little quick prayer to make sure we cover all the bases. Father, in Jesus' name, if you'll repeat after me.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I ask you to forgive me of all my sins.
I ask you to forgive me of all my sins.
Known and unknown.
Known and unknown.
And I ask you to show me, Father.
And I ask you to show me, Father.
If I have any unforgiveness.
If I have any unforgiveness.
Towards anyone else.
Towards anyone else.
If you get any names pop in your mind, you just say, I forgive such and such in Jesus' name.
Forgive them in Jesus' name.
Okay. Now, in Jesus' name, I take authority over every potion and poison that was given to this man in his dreams. And I break the power of that right now. I plead the blood of Jesus over it. You cough out everything that just came into you through that dream. Cough it out in Jesus' name. I burn all the spider webs that they have sewn in Jesus' name. I smash all them spiders right now. Every witchcraft attack, every ley line, every attachment to you, every silver cord, I command all of them to come out. I bind you with chains and fetters and command you to come out and go into a cage right now. Obey the name of Jesus and go. All of it go. Every snake, every spider, go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of cancer, thing that they've sent, go right now in Jesus' name. Anything down in them lungs, go to in Jesus' name. And up in that throat, go right now in Jesus' name. All of it, get out in the name of Jesus. Grow small and come out right now, instantly, in Jesus' name. And I just soak this brother in the blood of Jesus, cover him in the blood of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come in with your fire and burn out any hiding devils in him. Take a deep breath and breathe in the Holy Ghost breath. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, in Jesus' name, I bind every one of those devils that came out of you and commanded to go into cages. And Father, I ask you to send your warring angels to take these cages to the feet of Jesus so they can be judged before their time. And I plead the blood of Jesus over you. The worst attack I've ever had in my life is whenever I put my hands on a Mormon and prayed for him before I had any knowledge. And I ended up being under a spiritual attack for 3 days after that. Healing is the children's bread. It's for Jesus' children. It's not for the devil's children. You've got to realize that. Whenever you're praying for others, you pray for them to be saved. If they're not saved, you pray for God to heal them. You can bind up the spirit of death, stuff like that, but you can't. You can't go cast the devils out of them. That leaves an open door wide open in you for them to come attack you too. And you need to learn how to defend yourself. Got to make sure you're listening to the word. Build yourself up on the word. You understand what I told you?
Yes, I play it every single night over me.
Good, good. You're learning. You're building up on it. It's just a process. I didn't get where I was at overnight, and Pastor Pat didn't either. We both had to learn. It took time. I guess the best way to compare it is the slow cooking method. It's the way the Lord works on us, slow method. There are no microwave methods, I've seen. Do you have anything else, Pastor Pat?
Do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Does that mean like if I pray in tongues?
Yeah.
I got baptized, but I don't speak in tongues.
Well, Dale, lead him in that.
All right. Well, repeat after me, please. Father,
well, tell him, wait a minute. Tell him about it.
Okay. All right. In Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit is given to us so we can have power to become witnesses. When Jesus in John 20, chapter 20, verse 21 from memory, when he breathed on his disciples and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Then in Luke, at the end of Luke, he told them, go tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from above. And on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came in the room as a rushing wind, and it came as cloven tongues of fire upon their heads, and as the Spirit gave them utterance, they spoke. They started speaking in another tongue. Anywhere you look in the Old Testament, whenever the Spirit would come upon anyone, whenever the prophets would anoint them, they would prophesy. But in the New Testament, the Lord did something new. Jesus Christ is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. It's very clear. John the Baptist told us in Luke 3:16, he said, I baptize you with water, but the one that comes after me, I'm not worthy to latch his shoe. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You understand what I'm telling you, my brother? It's very clear. So all you have to do at the day of Pentecost, when everyone was confused and they all started speaking in everyone's language there, Peter stood up amongst the crowd and he told them in Acts 2:38, all you have to do is repent of your sins in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you and your families shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that something wonderful? That is such a free gift. All we have to do is ask for it. It's so easy. It's just right there. And what happens is, I'm not going to get into any details, but it's just so easy to receive. All you have to do is just ask the Lord. All you have to say is, Lord Jesus, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. And with evidence of speaking in tongues, that's all you have to do, my brother, is just ask. Are you ready to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Jesus, I ask you.
Jesus, I ask you.
To baptize me.
To baptize me.
With your Holy Spirit.
With your Holy Spirit.
And with my prayer language, that you would give it to me now, Lord Jesus.
And with the prayer language that you were given to me.
Yes. Just breathe in the Holy Ghost. Take a deep breath. Fill him up, Holy Spirit, till he overflows, till the rivers of living water gush out of his belly. Give him his prayer language, Jesus. We bind up all blocking spirits, all doubt and disbelief. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill him up till he overflows now. In Jesus' name, fill him with your fire. How you doing? You're awful quiet.
Yes.
As the Spirit gave them utterance, they spoke, is what it says in Acts.
Tell him to praise the Lord, Bill. He can't.
Start praising
he can't
the Lord.
Do it with his mouth closed. He's got to
yes.
be filled.
It's that simple. Start praising the Lord. He'll give you your prayer.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
Tell him my Holy Ghost to be over.
Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
All blocking spirits, yes.
Ask him if he's ever been in the occult.
Yes. Have you ever been in the occult, my brother?
No.
Secret societies?
No.
Has your father or your mother?
No.
What part of the country are you from?
Mexico.
Where?
Mexico.
Mexico.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what kind of religion did your mom belong to?
Catholic.
And what did you belong to?
I guess the same.
Okay, are you still...
I never really went to church, like once in a while, maybe.
Oh, okay. So you're not a Catholic now, are you?
No.
Okay. So you've asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. And so what Bill's going to do is he's going to break the family curses that are coming down your generational lines for your father and your mother. What was your father? Was he Mexican too?
Yes.
Okay. And Bill's going to explain that in Deuteronomy 28, that curses come down the family line upon the children. And he's just going to break those curses over you. And then you'll be wide open for the Holy Ghost to just fill you, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead, Bill.
All right, my brother. It's very clear in Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. And it, you can see the generational curses in Exodus 20, verse 5. By memory, it goes, they come down 3 to 4 generations if you don't keep God's commandments. And in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, it's very clear, too. If you've ever had a firstborn in the family, it's 10 generations back. So when we get into Deuteronomy 28, it's very clear there. In verse 15, it starts out, as soon as I can get there, it starts out, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Well, in Jesus' name, we break all these curses off my brother here and everyone else listening in the chat room. 10 generations back, 10 generations forward, off both family lines in Jesus' name. Curse shall be thy basket and thy store. We break that curse in Jesus' name. Start popping these out as I command them to come out of you. Okay, my brother? Start coughing them out as I command them to come out. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. We'll break that curse in Jesus' name. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. We'll break that curse in Jesus' name. We'll put the blood of Jesus against all these curses. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. We'll break all them curses off of you. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. We'll break that curse in Jesus' name. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all thou settest thine hand unto do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. We'll break all those curses in Jesus' name. The Lord shall make pestilence to cleave unto thee, and until he hath consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it. We'll break that curse in Jesus' name. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and an extreme burning and with sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. We'll break all these generational curses off. Jesus' name, and everything was 10 generations back, 10 generations forward, off both family lines, break all these curses. And thy heaven that is over thee shall be brass, and thy earth that is under thee shall be iron. We break that curse in Jesus' name. The Lord shall make the rain of the land powder, and heaven shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. We break those curses in Jesus' name. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies, and thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and thou shalt be removed unto all kingdoms of the earth. We break those curses in Jesus' name. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth. And no man shall frame in the way will break those curses in Jesus' name. The Lord shall smite thee with the blotch of Egypt and with the emerods and with scab and with itch whereof thou cannot be healed. Will break all them curses in Jesus' name off his breath. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and affliction. Will break those curses off of you in Jesus' name. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in all thy ways. And thou shalt only be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Would break that curse off of you in Jesus' name. And everyone listening, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. And thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather grapes thereof. Will break all them curses off of you in Jesus' name. Thine ox shall be slain from thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and thou shalt not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have them to rescue them. Will break that curse in Jesus' name. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand. Will break all them curses in Jesus' name. The fruit of thy land and the fruit of thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt only be oppressed and crushed always. Will break all them curses in Jesus' name. Thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore box that cannot be healed. Will break all them curses in Jesus' name. The Lord shall bring upon thee a king which thou set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shall serve other gods of wood and stone. Will break all them curses in Jesus' name. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among the nations, and within the land, and whether the Lord shall lead thee. Will break that curse in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I break every other curse listed in the scripture in Jesus' name. 10 generations back, 10 generations forward off this brother in Jesus. And all them curses to be bound up, every one of them to be bound in the name of Jesus. And I forbid them to work anymore in this man's life. And now in Jesus' name, it's very clear, my brother. It says, and it shall come to pass in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 28, that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And I loose all these blessings over you in Jesus' name. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. I loose that blessing over you in Jesus' name. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. I loose that blessing over you and everyone in the chat room listening in Jesus' name. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. I loose that blessing over you in Jesus' name. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee seven ways before thee. I loose that blessing over you in Jesus' name. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God had given thee. Loose that blessing over you in Jesus' name. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of the cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land in which the Lord sware unto give thee and the fathers. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto the land in his season, to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandments which the Lord thy God, I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of these words which I command thee this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Well, in Jesus' name, I loose all the blessings of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob unto you. And I declare in Jesus' name that you are part of the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people to show forth the praises of him that brought you out of darkness. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill that young man now till he overflows to the rivers of living water. Gush out.
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Take a deep breath and just breathe in that Holy Spirit now.
Yes.
From your head to your feet. He belongs to you. And just praise his name. Just lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. And what we want you to do is we want you to get into the Word. Let it play over you. Do you have it on MP3?
Yes, I played everything when I...
Okay, let it play over you and just read the book of Acts and meditate on it, and the Lord will lead you on, and you call us and let us know how you're doing, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, God bless. Bill, we got another call. 239, you're on the air.
Hey, Pat, it's Deborah.
Hey, Deborah, how are you? Bill's on the phone tonight.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Deborah, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good, and I wasn't going to call in, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to call in, Pat, and share something that happened in the night. It kind of a dream, but kind of not. And I felt like he wanted me to tell you about this because I have an interesting background in a lot of ways, but I have a real supernatural background, lots of supernatural experiences. And I have a son, my youngest son. I have two boys, but my youngest son. I guess I should tell you the dream first. Here's the dream. I was dreaming, and I kept in my dreams, I kept waking up last night seeing flames, like flames of hell. And so I would dream about the flames, then I would wake up, and in my spirit, you know, I would pray. I would start praying, and so it happened like three times, and like the third time, I don't know if I was actually dreaming or if I was awake, but I started really praying, and I knew it was serious. In my spirit, I knew it was about my youngest son, and I knew it was about him, and I knew it was about his wife, and they're both not saved. Sean was saved. My youngest son was saved, I think, at like 4 and a half, something like that, but he says he consciously, he doesn't remember any of that, but so he's really not, you know, saved. And so anyway, and they're really just out there. They're a professional couple in the world. They're very respected, you know, and work and, you know, all of that. They have the house. They have everything. But they, you know, they're really, you know, lost. So anyway, so then I've been praying for, you know, for them. But so last night, so three times the flames, the third time I was praying, it was like I was sort of dreaming, sort of not. And in my spirit, the Lord showed me, I saw the flames again, but the Lord showed me what appeared to be a man that I knew was a demon. And I knew he was a demon. And he had his back to me, and the Lord showed me that he was standing over like a skillet, a flat black skillet, and he was mixing something, and I could see the movements of his arms as if he was mixing something. It looked like he was mixing scrambled eggs, making scrambled eggs in a skillet, you know, cooking them. And I discerned in my spirit that that the three of us were on that skillet. My son, his wife, and me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was mixing all three of us up, cooking us.
Mm-hmm.
Cooking us.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I tell you, my spirit, and I started binding, and I threw, I'm awake at this point, and I threw with my hand, I threw the blood at him,
mm-hmm.
and I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I threw the blood at him, and a cross attached to his back, like his shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, he turned and he looked at me, and he looked just like a man wearing a shirt and pants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he turned and he looked at me, and I had seen this guy before, this demon. I had seen him before in the spirit realm, and a long time ago. And he looked just like a guy that you would see now on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so he turned and he looked at me and gave me a look like, you know, oh, you know, I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
And so at that, the spirit within me, I sat up, and I knew this was war. And I knew what he was doing. He was mixing us. He was mixing everything up. He was creating a curse, and he was cooking us all together.
Cauldron? Was it a cauldron?
No, it looked like a flat, just like, you know, like a skillet, a black skillet.
Oh, okay.
But it was a long black skillet, you know, like you.
Frying pan.
Making breakfast, you know, like a breakfast skillet, you know, mm-hmm. for like pancakes and eggs and.
Yeah.
And that's what he was doing. And both hands, he was, you know. And so when that cross attached to his shirt, you know, it affected him. And he turned around and he glared at me. And by then I had set up. I was sitting up by the bed, and I was just like, oh, this is it. And I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You know, I started taking authority, and I said, I curse your curses, whatever you're cooking up there. I take authority over you. I throw the blood of Jesus at you. And I got, you know, militant.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he stopped. And it was like, I don't know if it was like God took me, the Holy Spirit, and we started, you know, I wasn't consciously trying to chase him at all.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can't do that in my flesh anyway. But the Holy Spirit was like with me, and we both, I just started just I started going down. Well, he took off, and he went down into the earth, and I started seeing the layers of the earth and water and dirt,
mm-hmm.
and it was in like a cavern. It started going deeper and deeper and deeper, and I was after him, and I mean, not consciously. It wasn't my own power, but
mm-hmm.
I was following him, and all of a sudden, that thing opened up, and I saw the city under the sea.
Ooh.
And I saw water, I mean, big-time water. And then I saw this city, and it was, I was just as cool as a cucumber in my soul.
Yeah.
And but in my spirit, I was violent.
Yeah.
And I saw that city, and my mind, I said to myself and to God, I mean, I knew the Lord was, you know, he was there with me. And I said, oh, there's a city under the sea. I said, that's where Satan lives. And I'd never seen him. Yeah.
Wow. That's where he lives.
Isn't that something? So then that ended. And then, of course, I'm up. I'm walking at this point. And I'm mad. You know, my spirit. And I'm walking, and I was up. I mean, you know, there's no going back to bed after that. And I was just thinking about that, and I was talking to the Lord, and I felt like he said, write this down, write it down. So I did. And I started you know, doing warfare and pleading the blood and praying in spirit. I said, God, what am I supposed to do? You know, give me, you know, what do you want me to say? Well, you know, let's go on this thing. And so I got on Demon Busters, you know, demonbuster.com.
Right.
And I tore into that, into the Word, and just speaking, and speaking the Word and binding and loosing. And my son now, and I have fought his entire life for him spiritually.
Yes.
And I've been a prayer warrior for him. I mean, I was praying the blood of Jesus over him when he was in my womb.
Yes.
And, And, but his father is, when I met him, was a Satanist high priest. And I was barely born again. And I had come from a real deep, very deep levels of witchcraft, myself, my big time. In fact, I was preened to be a high priestess for Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've come a long way, you know.
Amen.
And, oh, yeah. And so, I had sold my soul to Satan when I was 23.
Mm.
And he came within just a matter of, I think it was 4 to 6 weeks, to try to kill me, try to take me to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And God, the Holy Posse, I call it the Holy Posse, and I didn't believe. I mean, I was an atheist, basically, even after I'd sold my soul to Satan, you know. I was an atheist, you know. I claim that because, you know, Satan just, you know, he puts that in your mind when you're sold out to him, you know. And so, anyway, I didn't really believe that there was even a God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he came and to get me, and God showed up, and it's incredible, you know, testimony. And this was in 1978, and you know, God manifested to me because the devil was trying to take me out through the bottom of my feet. He came to, you know, he literally my body combusted in flames, and
wow.
I was conscious, and I was standing upright, in my parents' bedroom, and he came to claim me, you know, and reneged on his deal. You know, I sold my soul for 40 years of fame and fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And so 6 weeks later, that dog, you know, came and reneged on his deal because he's the father of lies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing in my bedroom, my parents' bedroom, their spare bedroom, and the night, that night that he decided he was going to take me out, all of a sudden, I started feeling my spirit and soul be jerked through the bottom of my feet. My feet turned, just went to flames. It was like my feet was on fire, and I could see it in my spirit. I could see a demon through the floor that was in hell jerking me out because I had sold my soul, so I was his. So he's jerking my spirit, my soul through the bottom of my feet, and my whole body became engulfed in flames. Now they were invisible flames, but I could feel them. It was very painful, and so I was terrified, and I was just overwhelmed with the whole thing. It was horrible, and I could feel my spirit, my soul. He kept jerking me. He kept jerking my essence, who I am, my spirit and my soul, out and down. I could feel my whole inside. I could feel all my organs moving, and it was very painful. And in terror, I realized that I was going to hell. And
mm-hmm.
I looked up to God, and I put my hands up, and the flames, I was engulfed in flames. I felt the flames everywhere. And that's how I know, you know, people do feel the flames of hell before they get there.
Yeah.
And they actually will feel it. And they'll see it, and they'll smell it. They'll smell the sulfur before they even get out of their body.
Mm.
And I went down literally on the floor, I cried out because I realized right then in my mind, I said, oh, my God, there is. If there's a Satan and there's a hell, then there's got to be a God. And there's got to be a heaven. And I cried out to him. I lifted my hand. And right then, God came and the heavenly posse came. And one corner of the room turned into the most magnificent color of pink and gold mixed together. And God came, and he literally saved my soul from literal hell that night in January 7th, 1978.
Wow.
But Satan is never, now, he's never left me alone because I had sold myself, but I was already God's, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But God said to me, I was born again as a little girl in Nazarene Church when I was 9 years old. I had a true experience at 9 years of age. But I was raised in the religious system of church, not necessarily that, you know, you can really have a wonderful personal relationship with God sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted the personal relationship with God. I needed that. You know, I was a messed up little girl. I'd had a lot of hurts, a lot of stuff in my life, and that's what I needed. So, but I didn't get it. And so what happened was that my mother, adoptive mother, but anyway, my mother image, my mother, you know, the mother I knew, she had witchcraft in her background, and she was a religious woman. She was a religious woman, and she had a lot of problems, and she tried, but she just was messed up. She was a messed up woman, and so she allowed me right around the time I was born again at 9 to get an Ouija board when they first came out. Now this is back in the 60s, and so that ushered in the supernatural realm in my life at the age of 9, like it was, I mean, this was like a waterfall. And demons were just on parade every night in my bedroom. When my parents turned off that light, here they came.
Wow.
And I was tortured and tormented. And I mean, I was Satan just had carte blanche in my life. And because of that Ouija board that opened the door for Satan, Satan could just come right in, even though I was his child. I was born again in my spirit. But that gave the open door for the demons to come in and begin to set me up to become a high priestess for Satan himself.
Wow.
And he did it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was a tug of war. This was a war. This was big time supernatural war. I'm a little girl. I had no one to talk to. I needed someone so much to be able to go to someone and say, you know, I got people that come into my room at night and they stand at the bottom of my bed. And what they would do, there would be like 4 to 6 to sometimes more, sometimes less. Every night, 2 to 6 people would come in my bedroom and talk with me all night long.
Mm-hmm. But if you'd even said anything about it, they would just think you were dreaming.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, exactly. And, I mean, there was nothing. And my folks were, you know, I had a good dad. He was my uncle that adopted me. I was adopted. He was my father's brother. Mm-hmm. And he was a good man, but he was a weak man. And I say that honorably, you know. I honor him, and I honor even her. I honor my adoptive mother. But because what they did was that they introduced me to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is their honor. And my father was an honorable man toward
mm-hmm.
me
mm-hmm.
and loved me, you know. And so I bless them for that. And I know that they're both in, you know, secure in heaven, and
mm-hmm.
that one day I will see them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but the supernatural realm, you know, Satan is really, I mean, this is it. You know,
yeah.
this is really it. I mean, he's not playing games with us. He
no.
is, and he doesn't care. See, the thing about this is he does not care if you're born again or not. He just hates your guts. He hates his own. He hates you. And he wants to cause you as much pain and as much devastation as he can. And so he's really worked, and I mean really mad at me, because he came so close to getting me in hell.
Mm-hmm.
So close. And so now he's coming after my children, because, he, I mean, that's even scriptural, you know. And so he's coming after my children. Now, my one son, I think he's secure. But Sean, my youngest, is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been the challenge. He's always been the one with... you know, that, I mean, this guy is he's life. I mean, he's big life on the leash. I mean, big personality, big everything. He's big. He's 6'5", he's 300, you know, the whole thing. I mean, he's huge.
Is he married?
Yeah,
okay.
He's married. And of course he's got a call on his life. My goodness gracious, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
He's one of God's sheep, and she is too.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he's his father. Now, his father, again, when I met him, he was a nobody. He was the weird guy that had the coven in high school. You know, had all the money and the chicks,
mm-hmm.
and all of that, and you know, and would laugh at the devil, claim that the devil was a nobody, blah 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 blah. Well, you know, when he met me, I mean, it was that it was he was a disaster, and I was newly born again and fresh from the flames of hell, kind of thing. And so Satan used this guy, and I got messed up with him because I wanted to see him saved. I knew this guy was going to, you know, bust hell wide open. Well, there you go. The sweet little Christian girl trying to save the devil, and that's what happened. And so he was definitely, and he's still in witchcraft. Sean's father is still in witchcraft. He doesn't acknowledge it as such. The guy is he's a very wealthy, wealthy man. Mm-hmm. And now instead of having a black altar, doing, you know, whatever on the black altar, you know, he's doing other things. They're still in the occult, you know, mm-hmm. but they're just more socially acceptable. You know, he can't do that in the boardroom, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can do that in the boardroom. It's you know, that thing. So, but I know that the power of God is stronger. I absolutely, no one can convince me otherwise. But I'm fighting for my son's life. And, mm-hmm. and you know, the Lord showed me a few months ago, and he gave me a dream. And in the dream, I saw Sean and his wife with a huge amount, and they were all in the form of sheep. Mm-hmm. And Sean was huge. He was the biggest sheep there. But there was just, I mean, untold, just a mass of sheep. And they were going, they were being herded by Satan down a deep, dark kind of, in a tunnel. And there were demons in the corners just kind of, you know, making them go along. It's like, okay, all right, yeah, you know, turn the corner mm-hmm. there you go. Here comes another, yeah, you're okay, all right, keep going. And they were just obeying them.
Yeah.
Obeying these guards. They were like demon guards.
Mm-hmm.
And when I woke up, God spoke to me, and he said, if you don't pray for them, they will be lost. And I mean, I've always prayed. So, you know, I was kind of like, what? And this is intense warfare for our children. I mean, I'm not the only one going through this. But Sean, he's coming down here, and him and his wife, they haven't seen him in many, 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 many years.
Mm-hmm.
And that for a lot of reasons, but him and his wife coming down here, and we're going to spend a couple days together, and I pray. I mean, I'm in constant prayer really for both of them every day, speaking the word. But I don't have any backup. You know, I need backup, and I know Jesus is there. I know the Holy Spirit is in me. I know mm-hmm. I've got the word. I know how to speak the word. I know, you know, but it's like, you know, I'm saddened that the body of Christ is just, we're still not together, you know.
Now, wait a minute now. You do have backup, and here's the thing. You're in the great falling away.
Yeah.
But that's what this radio program's about. And
totally.
Yes, and that's what Miracle Internet Church is about. It's to give people a place where they can come and they can, like you have tonight, share. And mm-hmm. and you see up on the chat room, you've got people up there listening to your story. You've got people across the world that just heard your story. And so Wednesday night and Friday night is like our prayer meeting. And so here's the thing. Satan is very powerful, but God has given us promises too. And mm-hmm. Jesus is very powerful. And
yes.
You remember that that Bill broke curses, family curses, over that young man that called in.
Amen.
And then he released the blessings of Abraham over mm-hmm. him and those that were listening. And the Bible shows that there are people that curse God, that hate God, and those blessings come generationally down on their family lines. And then in the book of Deuteronomy at the same time, he shows the blessings come down upon their family line. And so, you know, Deborah, I believe you're an evangelist. Isn't that right?
I've been everything, you know.
Okay.
Intercessor, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's
yeah.
the thing. You're serving Jesus. And
yeah.
so the curses that are coming down the family line would
yeah.
be coming down upon your children from the dad because
yeah.
he's not serving God. But
right.
you are. So
oh,
you
yeah.
can stand up and you can be the one that stops the curses because
oh, yeah.
you have the promises of God flowing over your life.
Yeah.
And, of course, over in Galatians, I think it's 3:17, for we believers have been redeemed from the curse of the law. For cursed is he, Jesus, that hung on the tree from us. So all of those curses that Bill was breaking over that man
yes.
are broken over us. As we say, Satan, you have no authority over us, and you have no authority over our family. And
yes.
so what we're going to do is we're going to pray for the kids, and we'll
all
pray
right.
for your husband's married again, is he?
No, actually, yeah, well, he married and now divorced. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll
yeah.
pray for him.
Yeah.
I was married when I was real young, and
yeah.
before my first husband died, I led him to the Lord and his
yeah.
wife and
yeah.
got several of his children. And so God honors, you know, those that believe. And
yeah.
so we're going to pray for him, and we'll pray for other people that are listening in, the people up on the chat room. All of you just come into agreement and agree in prayer now for your families and for the family of Deborah, my family, and
yeah.
all of the families around the world that are listening. You know, we're
yeah.
getting about 1,500 listeners every week now on this, and that's pretty good. And
yeah.
so we are a force to be reckoned with. We're not just standing up here all by ourselves. Jesus is getting an army behind us to pray with us and for us. And
yeah.
so I'm going to ask that we pray at the same time for our local ministry here. We
yes.
get hit real bad in Jacksonville because Jacksonville is my
mm-hmm.
hometown. And
mm-hmm.
so you know, every pastor in town comes against me. I have a local television show here that you can listen to up on my miracleinternetchurch.com.
Oh.
But they just don't, you know, they're so afraid you're going to take one of their sheep. And so I've got even Christians pray against us here in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got to pray for the finances for the Blog Talk Radio
oh,
and
yeah.
Also for the local church and attendance. And 'cause
oh, yeah.
the devil really hates this ministry worse than most because
yeah.
we just keep plugging along no matter what he does.
Passing them out.
Yeah. And so... you're not standing by yourself is what I'm saying. And that's what this ministry is for us believers to have each other
yeah.
That we'll be able to I'm going to type in that website, somebody, if you don't mind, so that we'll be able to cover each other's back. But you see, getting back to your dream, I think that the Lord was showing you, I'm typing and talking at the same time, but I think that the Lord was showing you that that there's a person that's into Satanism working against your boys and you. And they're, of course, they're working for their souls.
See,
what you did is you rose up, and God showed you that you had the power to put them on the run. And you were demonstrating tonight was that gates of hell, because that's where you ended up going to. The gates of hell cannot prevail against one of God's people, just one, because you put that demon on the chase. So we're going to go ahead and pray tonight. Also, the fact that our New World Order people and our higher echelons of people are meeting over in the Bohemian Grove, worshiping their owl god. Well, you see, our God is bigger than the owl. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll pray for our families, okay?
Amen. Amen.
Father, we just lift up this prayer meeting tonight, and we thank you for everyone that's tuned in and listening. We thank you for those that are listening in their cars and in their bedrooms and around the world. We thank you for our faithful chat room, and they're inviting people to come, and we give you glory and praise, God, that you're growing the ministry. And, Father, we thank you that everything that we do is not in vain, that you are a great God and worthy to be praised. And in Jesus' name, we take authority over all of the spirits that have been sent against my sister, her family, my family, me, against the people in the chat room, people listening on the air all over the world. And in Jesus' name, we bind you up away from us, and we forbid you to attack our families or our ministries in any way. And Satan, you are a liar, and you are the father of it. The Bible says, gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Father, we thank you that you have us here for such a time as this. And we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you release this ministry in Jacksonville, this ministry up on Blog Talk, this ministry, Miracle Internet Church, and also PatHoliday.com. And we give praise and glory, God, that you will bless it, that you will bless us with people to come from the north, east, south, and west, and to come from around the world to be delivered and to be healed and to be helped.
Thank you, God.
And to hear the word of God preached in Jesus' name.
Lord,
we ask that your anointing just prevail over this. And Father, those that have come, and if the devil has taken anyone away, we bind your powers over their minds, and we bind all of slandering, gossip, whatever's going on, God, we bind it right now. The ones that are taken away locally, the same thing. And Father God, you have to teach your people that they have to stand in order to prevail. They cannot just get in the flesh and just do what they want to do. If you bring them to a ministry, you've brought them there for a reason and a purpose. And we ask you, God, that you speak to those. I know some very strong people have fallen away from Blog Talk that I highly respected and still do. And God, we ask that you don't let them fall. But we give you praise and glory. Now, we take authority over the finances of Blog Talk Radio, and we bind every devil that comes against the finances of this program. And we say you will take your hands off the radio finances, off of the local church finances, off of Miracle Internet Church finances, and we just release the blessings of Abraham to flow in through your people, God. And we give you praise for that, because all things can happen just because you're God and we are serving you. And we give you praise now, God, those that have called and have received help. We release the blessings of Abraham, financial jobs over those that need jobs. We release financial success over those that are working every day. We ask you, God, that those who have jobs, that their bosses see them as valued employees. And we give you praise and glory for that. And that we just minister to them the blessings for their faithfulness. And, Lord, we thank you for each and every one of them. And we just face over their heads blessings that just overcome them, because there's one scripture that says that you'll run them down and bless them. That's paraphrasing it. But, God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. We thank you. And, Father, we lift up this Bohemian Grove thing, and we bind any listeners that are not supposed to be reporters, and we break their machines, and we break human listeners and confuse those minds in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we take authority over this owl devil out there that's been in existence for over 100 years. And, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we tear down that gateway, that heavenly gateway over there that is furnishing the power in there to take control of those people's souls and make them worship pagan-like. And, Father God, all of those leaders, and some of them, God, have turned our nation over to communists. And, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, that you have mercy on America and that you have mercy on the Christians that are still standing and that you have mercy on our families. And, Father God, you put blinders on these people's eyes that they will not be able to see us, that they will not be able to find us, they will not be able to hunt us down, they will not know us. And if our name comes across any demonic minds, that it's erased immediately off of their computers and off of the demons' minds in Jesus' name. We give you praise and glory as we pray here tonight, God. And we're believing for my sister's son, her sons and her daughter-in-law and my family, my children, and all of the people that are listening. And Satan, they don't belong to you. Acts 2:39 says that if we repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will save us and our households and as many as the Lord thy God shall call. And nothing that we've ever done in the past can affect us in the present, because everything we've ever done in the past is under the blood of Jesus, and we are white as snow. That's what the Word of God says about us. And we can overcome the devil because we have the anointing, the name of Jesus, and the Word of God. And Satan, you will take your filthy hands off of our families and off of our family members. And Father, we give you praise and glory that you anoint us for such a time as this. For you are the great I am, and you're worthy to be praised. We take authority right now over all of the blood sacrifices going out there at the Bohemian Globe and other places, God, because these things are going on all over the world as we pray. And Father God, we command all of their sacrifices to just fall back on their own heads everything that they've released over this nation and over the world, that it falls back upon them and their families in Jesus' name instead of our families and us. And Father God, we just put a tent over those sacrifices and all their plots and plans and imaginations and all of the instructions of Satan. We bind it and confuse it, and we say that we release confusion in the enemy camp, and we say that we loose division in the enemy camp, and we break the shields that they use in the spirit realms, and we break the powers of those devils that they bow to and worship from the top all the way down to the bottom. And Satan, you are a liar, and you are the father of it. And we forbid you, in Jesus' name, that you continue your work. And Father God, we lift up the military in this nation, and we ask that you alert them, and the police, and the people in high places, the Congress, the Senate, and those that are standing in sin, and those that are that have blotches on their lives, and they've sold their nation down the creek because of their sinfulness. God, they've sold our nation out to the bankers. We ask you, God, that you dismiss some of those people from their jobs in the name of Jesus all over this country. Expose them, God. Expose them from the local level all the way up to the international level, to the state levels, in the name of Jesus. And this man that has come, that's this high socialist, Father God, we take authority over his plots and plans. We bind up those that are running, calling 7 more years while we're paying $3 to $5 for gas and 3 times more for our food. We ask you to open the eyes of those whose minds are being blinded in Jesus' name. Let them see, God, the truth. Let them look at it face on, and let them see what the cause is in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise. We ask that you cover those that are fighting against communism in our land, and cover their lives and the lives of their families, and hide them under the blood, and expose every socialist, every communist, in Jesus' name. Give you praise and glory. And we say that, Lord, as we are standing here in agreement, you said that you're right in the midst of us every day. And we give you praise and glory, God, for what you're going to do for us. We thank you, Father, that you will anoint each and every one of us, that you will give us our plans for this end time, that Jesus, you are our battle axe, and that you go before us, God, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory that, Lord Jesus, that you stand in front of each one, fight our battles. We cover our families with the blood of Jesus, and this devil that ran back to hell, we bind you down there, and we forbid you to ever come up again in Jesus' name. We close the gate that you came out of, and we close these gates that they're opening all over this country for communism in Jesus' name. And we bind up the angel and the world. Bind up Metatron in Jesus' name, and we cage these devils, and we bind up the powers of money and mammoth and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all of those bankers. Yes. We're calling, God, for you to put them in jail, and we ask that you put into jail Kissinger and every one of them. In some parts of the world, he can't even go, neither can George Bush, because they've got warrants out for him. And we're asking for warrants in the United States, too. And we give you praise and glory. Alert those men to stand up for their countries in the military. In Jesus' name, we bind up the powers of the military complex in the name of Jesus. And Satan, you're up in Jesus' name. And we forbid you We forbid you to continue your march with this Obama. And we bind up his powers.
Yes.
We bind up every false anointing over his life. And we uncover him in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
And everyone says, amen.
Amen. Thank
God is great
Jesus.
And good and worthy to
Jesus.
Be praised.
Amen. Thank
amen.
You, Jesus.
Amen.
You are so wonderful, God.
Thank you, Deborah. We'll talk to
you.
Thank you,
God. God bless you. I love you.
Yeah, we love you too. God bless.